Genesis 6, 7, 8, 9 chapters, not verses. I would love to read all of them today, but that's probably not going to happen as far as reading all the verses. But Hebrews 11, verse 7 is where we'll start out, and then we'll go right to Genesis. The title of the message is Faith on Display. Faith. We hear an awful lot about faith, don't we? How many times have you already heard the word faith today? Just through the singing, just through me talking, just in talking with friends today. We hear a lot about faith. We hear phrases like, you've got to have faith, or where's your faith, or just have faith. How many messages or conversations have you heard or had on faith? Lots of them. It dominates our lives as believers. Just think of your ride into church this morning. Think of the faith that you exercised there to get into your car and assume that the car will hold you up when you climb inside of it. Then to put the key in the ignition, having faith that it will start. Some had more faith than others probably this morning with that one. You put it in reverse. You really hope it goes in reverse, right? But you don't think about it when you're backing out of your driveway. Push the acceleration pedal, push the brake. You really hope the brakes are working. But this is stuff that we probably took for granted as we drove into church today, all the exercises of faith that were going on. Then you walk to the church, you turn the door handle, you just trust that it's going to work, the door is going to open, that you're not just going to walk right into the glass, which has happened before. But there's faith. You're sitting in a chair trusting that it's going to hold you up. Our whole lives are filled with examples of faith. We had a softball game on Tuesday, and I was getting harassed from the crowd for someone I will not mention by name for my lack of faith to send a person from third home when the ball was coming. It was just funny that, you know, we're a church team, so faith is going to be thrown out there when we're running bases. But I still held up the runner because I saw that she would probably be out at home. But I was harassed for faith. It was all in good fun. But faith is everywhere in our lives. What is faith? Talking from a biblical worldview, what is faith? How can we define faith? Hebrews 11:1 describes faith as faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith defined as present assurance of a future reality, whereas we can trust what God says, having confidence that He is going to accomplish it, that He is going to fulfill it. Faith is unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence. So that is faith, and we're talking about faith in God. We can have complete confidence in Him. He has proven Himself faithful in the past. He will continue to prove Himself faithful. We can fully rely, we can fully rest on God. That is faith. What does a life look like that is guided by faith? Specifically, faith in God. I want you to think about this. I'm not going to tell you that answer right now. But I want you to think about it as we're going through this study. What is real life faith? What is real life faith in God? We're going to look at an Old Testament example this morning of faith, of genuine faith, of faith on display. And it's a very familiar story. It's a very popular story, especially right now. I want to take a close look at some of the details of this character, of this story, of what happens in these chapters in Genesis this morning. And I want us to look at the details because I think it will encourage our faith. It will encourage our faithfulness. It will encourage our confidence in God. We know the big picture of this story. We have heard this story for years, probably. We know how it goes. But I want to break it down to the faith of one man. He had crazy faith, and he put his faith on display. And I believe his faith can teach us, can challenge us, and can encourage us. who are we going to talk about this morning? You're probably not wondering because you probably already read ahead to Hebrews 11:7. We're going to be talking about Noah this morning. The flood. God sparing him and his family. We know the details, or we know the big picture, I guess. Let's spend some time looking at the details this morning. Let's look at our text in Hebrews 11:7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let's pray and then we'll jump into our text. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are faithful, that we can go to you with complete confidence, that we can trust in you. I pray that you will work in our hearts right now as we consider this idea of faith. Please be with us, Father, in your name I pray. Amen. Let's look at our verse one more time. I know we just read it, but I want the thoughts of this verse to be rolling through your mind as we go back to the Old Testament. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We can see the big picture of Noah's faith in this verse. It's pretty clear, right? God told Noah to build an ark, a giant boat, that would save him and his family from the flood. What did Noah do? Noah obeyed. Noah built the ark. Noah trusted God. Noah had faith. Noah's faith brought righteousness. And we saw that at the end of verse 7. That's the big picture of what happened. I think we miss the magnitude of Noah's faith when we quickly reflect on the big picture. Have I emphasized that enough yet? I've said that 8 times. Noah's faith is extreme. Noah's faith was borderline crazy. From a strictly human perspective, Noah's faith was absolutely crazy. Noah was a nut, humanly speaking. Noah trusted God, and his faith drove him to action, which is what faith does. It drives us to action. Let's now go back to Genesis chapter 6. You can say in Hebrews 11, we'll be coming back and talking about that in a few minutes. So we're back in Genesis 6. I want to look at the specific details, like I've said 9 times now, and put Noah's faith on display. It may help you, it helps me, to put myself in this story. Pretend for a moment that you are Noah. How would you have responded to this situation, to this command from God? And I understand we don't really know how we would have responded, but just for the sake of the next 20 minutes, put yourself in this story, and I think it'll help show Noah's crazy faith. The background before we get into the details of Noah, we can find in verses 5 through 7. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse number 6 of chapter 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Then go down to verses 11 and 12. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. So what's the background here? The actions of men, of humanity, was wicked. Even all of their thoughts were wicked. They were wicked continually. Their evil thoughts and actions dominated their lives. In verse 6, we saw that their sin sorrowed God, who is holy, who is perfect, and who is without sin. God looking down, seeing all humanity being evil, their minds are evil continually. God sees this. The Bible says it repented God, which means literally to breathe strongly or to sigh or to sorrow. So God, perfect, holy God, is looking down, seeing humanity, seeing their state, and it sorrows Him. Then it says it grieved Him. It hurt Him to see this humanity acting this way. So God was sorrowed by their actions. In verse 7, judgment was coming. God could not look at the sinful state of the world anymore. In verses 11 and 12, we see that there's violence. Violence can be defined as unjust gain. So just terrible, destructive stuff was going on the earth. People forgot about God. People ignored God. People did their own thing. That's the background leading into the story of Noah. Let's look at verses 8 through 10. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The whole world was living in wickedness, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So Noah comes into this scene of this context now, and Noah found grace in God's eyes. Noah walked with God. What is that talking about? Noah walked in a manner pleasing to God. Noah had much communion with God. So the whole world is going awry, and then we find this bright, shiny spot, Noah. And he finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible says he was just, he was righteous, he was living righteous. He had faith, and his faith declared him righteous before God. And the Bible also says he was perfect in his generation. That doesn't mean he did not sin. It does not mean he always did exactly what was right. It means he was upright and he had integrity. So he was truly striving to follow God and to be faithful to God and to walk with God. When the whole rest of the world didn't care, we find Noah. Noah had a relationship with God. Noah believed in God. Noah had not forgotten about God. Noah humbled himself before God, and Noah submitted himself to God. In a world of people that rejected God and did what they pleased, Noah walked with God. Noah had faith in God. Can you picture that? Can you put yourself in this story like I asked you to a couple of minutes ago? Could you imagine an entire world that hated God and rejected God and did whatever they wanted to, and you're all alone here? Put yourself in that story. That might be a difficult situation to live in. But what is our world like today? There's a strong disregard for God. Have you noticed that? There is a promotion of self. There is an attitude of doing whatever we want, of rejecting the reality of God. So here's the question. Do you walk with God? Hopefully, yes. I mean, do you have that relationship with God? I mean, we look back to Noah and his day, and man, that must have been interesting for him to try to do that all alone. Our world's pretty rough, pretty wicked today. Do you have a relationship with God? Do you walk with God? Let's continue in our story. God speaks to Noah in verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So God says, I've had enough. I'm going to send judgment. Judgment is coming. They have all disregarded me. And think about God, Creator God, looking down at His creation and seeing a whole world that has rejected Him. You can see why He was sorrowful. You can see why He was sad. Let's look at verses 14 through 16. And now we're getting into some of these details I was talking about. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with the lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. So God tells Noah, I want you to build an ark. An ark, literally defined, means a box of gopher wood. So I want you to build this ark, this boat, this box out of wood, out of trees. You, Noah, make an ark out of wood. Make a giant boat out of trees. And then pitch it within and without. That pitch is like a sealer that would help keep the water out. It's a big boat. Very big boat. Just try to wrap your mind around the size of this boat. From conservative measurements, it was 438 feet long. It was 73 feet wide, 44 feet high. This is like low end of what the measurements of what the actual size is. So it could have been bigger depending on which cubit measurement you use, but we won't go into all that. It's a big boat. It had three decks. It had a door. It had a window. Around 96,000 square feet of deck space. A volume of 1.3 million cubic feet. That's a lot of cubic feet. To put it into perspective, it had the same capacity as 522 normal size railroad cars. You ever count train cars as a kid? Getting to 522 is a pretty long train. That's good. So it's real vivid in your mind. But think of the volume of what 522 train cars could hold. And then put all that inside of a boat. And then, I know it's lots of details, keep in mind Noah is right at 500 years old. And God's telling him to build this boat. Keep in mind Noah cannot run to Lowe's for supplies. He probably can't even go to a sawmill. There's not electricity. Noah had to cut down trees for this. Think of how many trees that is. That's a lot. Noah did not have a logging truck. Noah did not have a chainsaw to cut down trees. Noah can't go rent power tools to build this boat. So think of the huge task of gathering all this wood, first of all. Huge task. Then shaping it to the boards, the sizes, the shapes, the lengths, all that stuff that you're going to need. Noah probably had to hand make his own tools to be able to build this boat. How long does that take? I tried to cut a stump out of the ground yesterday, and I had a chainsaw and shovels, and it was a wreck. It was hard work. And we have Noah, who's supposed to do that thousands and thousands and thousands of times to get enough trees to build this boat. Are you seeing the details here? Okay. Noah doesn't have a crane. Right? He can't go rent a crane to put these boards in place. Noah probably had to make his own ropes and pulleys to put this big boat together, and not even thinking about the fasteners and the mortises and the tenons and all this stuff, the wood pegs, all the stuff to build this boat. So many details, such a big boat. You can see why God gave him around 100 years to get it done. I mean, could you imagine that? I was talking to the guys this morning. 100 years, if that's how long it took. Like nowadays, if you have a house that's 100 years old, you're remodeling it, right? So, I mean, by the time Noah gets to the top of the boat, what's the bottom of the boat looking like? I mean, just these details that we can quickly run over. This is a crazy task that God asks this man to do. Let's look at verse number 17. "And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." So God tells him why he wants him to build the ark. Judgment is coming to the earth. Verse number 18, "But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." So God says, your family will come into the ark. You will be safe. I will spare your family from this coming judgment. Verse number 19 through 21, "And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them." So God tells Noah, I want you to put animals on this boat. Remember, he was supposed to put rooms in the boat. Now he's filling those rooms with animals, a lot of animals, trying to preserve the animals that God had created. Now they're supposed to come on this boat, because anything not on that boat, anything that breathes air that is not on that boat is going to die. So God designs this plan to preserve humanity, to preserve the animal kingdom, and Noah is in charge of this task. Then God tells Noah, you need to put enough food on this ark to sustain you. I mean, it's not like there was fridges. It's not like he can run out to Costco real quick. Details. Think about, I have four children, just having enough food for like a picnic, especially with Maverick around, you know, it's tough. Mav eats everything. But now Noah has his three boys, their wives, his wife, the animals, and he's got to try to keep them fed for somewhere around a year on this boat. Just details going on here. Verse number 22, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." God told him to do this task, this long, strenuous, difficult, detailed task. What do we find from Noah? We find faith in action. We find faith on display. God said it, Noah did it. And I just want you to think about this thought of God coming to Noah. "Noah, I know you're busy with life. I want you to build a massive boat that will save your life and your family and some animals as well. And it's going to take you around 100 years. But I want you to do this." All that God commanded him, so did he. God told him to do this stuff. What did Noah do? He obeyed. Does that seem like incredible faith to you? Would you have been willing and obedient to do that? Now that's pretending there that you would actually say what you would do. But is your faith that big? Where God says, build this massive boat, and you say, okay, I'll spend 100 years working on that. Is our faith that big? Let's go to chapter 7. I'm running short on time, so we're not going to read too much of it. But let's look at the first 10 verses. I'll just read through them quickly. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. So God tells Noah, get on the boat. They get on the boat. Could you imagine being on that boat with all those animals? Yikes. Animals stink. Animals make a mess. And you're going to be there for a long time. So for me, it took faith to build the boat, but then to get on the boat while you're waiting for the rain, while you're waiting for the flood to come. You're getting on here just trusting God, and then you're stuck on here with all these animals. That's a lot of faith. The flood comes. The waters prevail. All that breathed died. You can find those details if you read chapter 7. Then we get to chapter 8. Let's look at the first 3 verses. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. So, God remembered Noah. He remembers, okay, Noah's on this boat with all of his family, with all these animals. It's flooding out there. It's raining. Noah's probably tired of being in a boat, cooped up with all these animals. God remembers them. The earth has been judged, so God starts to abate the waters. The waters go down. There's the details of Noah releasing out the raven and the doves and that stuff to tell what's going on outside. Eventually, the door of the ark is opened. I want you to see what Noah does when he gets off the boat. In chapter 8, verse number 20, And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. So what does Noah do when he gets off this boat after this long, crazy, stormy journey? He remembers God. He didn't walk off bitter at God for keeping him on a boat with all these animals. He walks off praising God and thanking God, and he honors God. Then you can read chapter 9, and the rainbow is given as a sign that God will not destroy the earth by flood again. The whole story that we just went through is filled with details of Noah's faith in God and God's faithfulness to Noah and his family. It's so familiar, but I hope as you went through it this time that you grabbed on to some of those details and you saw, wow, I see why Noah's in the Hall of Faith of Hebrews 11. That guy had crazy faith. Let's go back to Hebrews 11:7 quickly, and I'll be done. Well, we might go to one more verse. But Hebrews 11:7. Now with all the details fresh in your mind that we just talked about, let's read this verse. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You can see why Noah is mentioned in this chapter. When we relive, when we reflect on all those details that he endured, you can see why he is mentioned here. Let's break this verse down a little bit. It starts out by faith. Noah's actions were by faith. The verse says, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, prepared an ark of the to the saving of his house. So by faith, Noah built this ark, this massive boat. He had not seen this flood coming. It's not like it was flooding and he's like, hurry up and build a boat before you die. I mean, it's not like he could see the waters rushing into him as he's hammering these pegs in to build this boat. God tells him to build this boat, and then he gives him a huge amount of time to build this boat. So Noah building this ark was by faith. All Noah had to base his future actions on was what God said. God said it's coming, and Noah based his actions on what God said. And yes, he had been walking with God. He had this relationship with God, so he knew that he could trust God when God told him to do this. But it was by faith to go forward and cut down that first tree. I mean, that's a huge step of faith, knocking that first tree over, dragging it to the building site. He had not seen a worldwide flood before. He had not built a giant ark before. He had not corralled thousands of animals before. I'm guessing on that one, but I'm pretty sure he hadn't corralled thousands of animals before. He had not lived on a houseboat with thousands of animals for a year before. This is new things to him. God told him to do this stuff, and Noah did all that God commanded him to do. His faith and his obedience led to his family surviving the flood. Then the verse goes on to say that he moved with fear. What is that word fear talking about? It's a reverence. It's a standing in awe of. He treated the message from God with great respect and awe. God told him to do something, and he had the proper high view of God as his Lord, as his master, as the supreme authority. So how did he respond? He listened and he obeyed. He acted in faith, knowing the one who instructed him was faithful and trustworthy. And that is how we can act in faith, because we know God is faithful and trustworthy. We can read back in the Old Testament. We can read the stories. We can read God's dealings with the nation of Israel. And we can see, yes, God is completely trustworthy. Yes, God is faithful. We can look back in our own lives, in the short history that is there, and we can see, yes, God, you have been faithful here, and you have been faithful here, and you have been faithful here. And I can continue to trust you and put my faith in you. Noah moved with fear. He acted in faith, knowing the one who instructed him was faithful and trustworthy. Then the verse says, by the which he condemned the world. And that's an interesting phrase to me to think about Noah condemning the world when it was God who was bringing the judgment. So what's going on there? Noah had faith to build and to get on the boat. He and the seven other family members are the only people that had enough faith to get on the boat. So there's eight of them. Eight humans were willing to get on the boat. And it's not like the rest of the world didn't know judgment was coming. Where am I getting that from? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5 says, I'm in 1 Peter, I better get to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 2, 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So the people saw Noah building the ark and they heard him preaching of the coming judgment. He was a preacher of righteousness. The people rejected this truth. Think about this thought. As Noah declared his own faith, so he condemned their unbelief. His faith put him to building a boat. Their unbelief was leading them to possibly mock Noah, harass Noah. We know they didn't get on the boat. We know they didn't believe what Noah had taught them. Noah stayed faithful, even with the whole world rejecting his message. Even with the mockers and doubters, Noah's faith did not waver. He continued to cut boards. He continued to pound pegs. He continued to pitch this boat within and without. And he continued to build an ark, the ark God told him to build. And then the end of the verse says, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah was declared righteous by faith. Noah put on an amazing display of faith, so much so that we read about him in the New Testament. As we have reflected on the details of Noah's faith, have you been considering your faith as we went along? I asked you to put yourself in the story. Have you been considering your faith? How much do I trust in God? What is my faith like? What is the depth of my faith? How big is your trust and your confidence in God? If Noah could trust God like that, the details that we just saw, can't we trust God and His promises? Even the little ones that we sometimes forget? If Noah could have huge faith, shouldn't we be able to trust in God? Shouldn't we be able to fully rely on God? Shouldn't we? Honestly? But how often are we like, God, I know you said this. I know you promised you'll always be with me. But, and then we make excuses of why we can't. We don't find Noah making any excuses to build this massive boat by hand. I mean, can't we trust God with His daily promises in our daily lives? We can fully trust God. Let's trust in God. God is faithful. Let's let our faith take action because God is faithful. We don't need to doubt God. We can trust God. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for challenging me this week from your word. This challenging my faith. I know I can believe in you. I know I can go to you confidently. I pray that you will help me to confidently trust in you at all times. Please help us with our daily lives to trust in you. We so often tend to trust ourselves and what we can get done and what we can do. But I pray that we'll go to you first and that we will put our faith and our confidence in you because we know that you are faithful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.